Let's go. All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. My name is Tristan.
My name is Bob.
And together we are going to talk about comic books that were released for Wednesday, the 7th of October, here in Portland, Maine, at the Coast City Comics. Yeah, there's a lot of shit out this week. This is a big week.
We're back for two regular large weeks of comic stuff.
Yeah, this is definitely very pre-COVID numbers of comic books. So that's maybe a good sign. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm just going to go through them alphabetically this time because there's just too much to think about. So Adventure Man number 4 is out.
It is.
That's a great series.
Yeah.
The original Alien screenplay is out. That's another great series that I very much enjoy. And one of the big ones this week is Amazing Spider-Man number 49.
Big in terms of size and of also being important.
Yeah, this is a... It really looks like one of those just like a jam issue, like they're like trying to fill space. It looks like one of those things on the surface of it when you look at it, and it is absolutely not that. Like when I saw it, I was like, oh God, it's going to be another one of these like the Joker issue of DC's stuff, you know, like the Robins and all those. And it was the polar opposite of that. It is literally just like an extended ending to this whole Sin Eater story that's been going on forever. It's huge. And the only difference is that it's got an awesome Trad Moore thing at the end, like a nice little short. So that rules.
Yeah, it does. It was cool. I love that Trad Moore thing. There's also a Bacala thing. Also, I apologize if the hum you heard earlier was me not having my headphones plugged in because they weren't. But now they are. It's possible.
No, it's my system. I don't know. There's something going on in here, and I'm gonna have to trace this thing down and deal with it. It's gonna sound funky because I'm gonna throw a noise filter over everything, so everything's gonna go into every word I say. So that'll be fun for everyone.
Neat. This was actually really cool. I dug this this Spider-Man comic book that you know, it's kind of funny when they have like 49 in huge letters, like it's more important than it being like the 850th issue. I'm just like, it kind of, you know, it's like if you're going to restart with number one, just do like one and then like just have everyone say one, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they have been wonderfully consistent in keeping that legacy numbering going underneath, which I'm so happy about that. And I honestly love the idea of just getting back in and being like, okay, we're starting over or doing whatever, because you can't do this forever. You can't just keep these numbers going forever. It's too daunting to new fans.
Well, here's what I would counter it with. Instead of starting with a new number one every time, start every storyline with a new number one, but otherwise just don't put a number on it. How about that? You know, like the old comics I buy all the time, I'm like, what issue of Felix the Cat is this? I don't know. It doesn't matter. There's no number on it. It's just a comic book.
It's Dell four color 7265.
Exactly. And that's what you get when you read the Indicia. So you keep track of the numbering that way, and then the cover just has nothing on it unless it's a new storyline, and then you're like, one. That's what I do anyway. But hey.
Oh man. I'm
just a dummy.
You know who definitely doesn't do that? That would be Batman.
Yeah, Batman didn't do that. They didn't do that this time. Did you read Batman?
I did not read Batman. I wish I had.
Yeah,
For some reason, forgot to grab it.
It's cool.
I've been loving Batman, so.
Yeah, it's cool. I liked it. I liked Batman. There's a lot of, there's like one real long story, and you get like a bunch of like little interludes at the end that are like, here's what's coming up next in punchline number one or whatever. But it was good. Good story, good art. Good. Batman.
Love it. American Vampire is back with American Vampire 1976 number one. This was not a terribly friendly to new readers issue. which would be a warning that I would put out there. If you have never read American Vampire, this is not the place to start. definitely they're like, they keep reintroducing characters from the original series and being like, oh my God, you're here. And if you have not read the book, you would just go, why? What does that mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, they do a pretty decent job of being like, oh, well, I just tried to figure out where a rockabilly vampire hunter would go, and I thought this would be the place. And it's like, okay, now we know who you are. You're a vampire hunter, and you have a rockabilly style. But it's a great book. American Vampire is always fun, and this just fits perfectly into the rest of the series. If you haven't read it and this looks appealing to you, I would definitely say go back and check out the trades, because they are phenomenal. This is just it's a super fun vampire story. It's more, you know, it's written by Scott Snyder, so it's got that. It's more a superhero book than the average vampire book would be.
Would you say it's a book about a vampire in America?
No, I would not. It takes place in Germany. And
German vampire.
It's funny because it's like this was started by Stephen King and Scott Snyder. And the idea was, what if there were these ancient vampires and they were in America? And it's like, yes, it was a book and it was called Salem's Lot and it was fucking awesome. What are you doing? But no, it's much different than Salem's Lot. It is a traveling, more hip vampire. Like he adjusts to the times and that kind of stuff, as opposed to a Kurt Barlow who just is ancient and always holds to old time.
Eternal. Stuff.
It's fun because like Dracula was this story about modern thinking going against the ancient evil. And this is like, what if the ancient evil caught up with the times and was just like, he stayed hip the whole time. And it actually makes him much more dangerous because he's very hip to what's going on all the time.
He was into punk rock and stuff.
In this one, he sure is. He sure does start off being a motorcycle daredevil a la Evel Knievel. So,
nice. The best of motorcycle daredevils.
So Bang, number four.
I love Bang. I didn't read it yet, but man, I love this comic a lot, and cool. I'm glad it's out.
Awesome. Kent, he's one of those guys that I just, because I read too fast for these sorts of things and just trying to get stuff in, he's too complex for this kind of a read. Like, usually his scripts are very, like, the, I don't know, all of the books that he's involved in, I'm like, ugh.
Oh, I see. I see that. That's fair. Yeah, I wouldn't in any way
What is his name? Alice Cott?
Alice Cott. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna do my homework next time, because someone that I follow on Twitter posted the pronunciations for everyone's name. And it was like, now that I've done this, you have no excuse for fucking them up. But I didn't save it. So I gotta
Sienkiewicz?
Say
is it Sienkiewicz?
No, it's Sienkiewicz. I know that one. That one's easy.
Sienkiewicz. Okay.
Sienkiewicz.
That's the only one that I ever have real problems with.
But Alice Cott or whatever it is.
I don't know. There's definitely a carrot Coat. Over his O.
Yeah, there's like a thing. Bitch. But there's a couple that were like, I was like, really? Like, that's something that I've been pronouncing wrong, but there was, it was just like this huge
Scott
like, master
Snyder?
Thread.
Damn it.
Scoat.
So
can my name be Scoat from now on? Yes. I'm Tristan, and I am Scoat.
I'm Scoat. So Batman Adventures is continuing.
Man, that's
with
good.
Number five of a 7-part story.
Like it.
Cool. There's a really nice re-release of Gotham by Gaslight in a big ass oversized hardcover.
Yeah.
Which I think looks real nice. And again, DC is really doing good work with their hardcovers.
And they're doing it on that weird, really thin paper. So it's like, it's a really thin volume, but it has like 15 comics in it. It's so weird when they.
Yeah, I agree. It's very strange. Oh, God. And that was the end of Bob. We lost him. I'll wait until he comes back.
I'm here.
But, oh, there you are. Hey, I hear you now.
Aww.
Sorry, you disappeared for a second.
Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry.
You froze. No, it's fine.
I was just going to say it has the all the appearances of Gotham by Gaslight Batman outside of that initial thing. Plus,
oh,
obviously.
Really?
Yeah, it has like Convergence Shazam, which he was in. And it has, I looked at it because I love that Gotham by Gaslight story. It also has Master of the Future, the sequel.
Oh, wow.
And what was the other one? So it's like a countdown search for Ray Palmer issue that he was in that also has a cyberpunk Blue Beetle in it. That's really cool.
Oh, weird. Okay, that's super cool. I did not know that.
It's a bunch of bonus. Awesome. Bunch of bonus crap.
Sweet. So finally, Batman Max is coming back. The Arkham Dream story, number 4 of 5, is out this week. And also the continuation of the Black Widow series. So Black Widow number 2 is out. I have not checked this book out because it felt like they just kept releasing Black Widow stories and I could not keep up with them. Unfortunately.
Can I ask a question?
One thing for this week, the fucking horror variant for this is awesome.
Ooh, I didn't see it.
It is a Tomb of Dracula parody cover and it looks great.
Nice. Did the Black Widow movie come out?
No, it's been delayed.
Oh, okay. Again. I didn't know if it had actually been released.
Yeah, I think this was supposed to be simultaneous with the release of the movie, but like everything else, I think it got pushed back.
Right.
And there is an epic Black Widow collection for The Coldest War. I don't know what that... That's a weird collection of things. It's got the one-shot Coldest War and then Punisher Black Widow, Spinning Doomsday's Web... Whole bunch of stuff like Journey into Mystery, some Marvel fanfare, solo adventures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like a real big mishmash of Black Widow appearances.
Cool.
Pretty cool. Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 18 is out. And Champions number 1, I think this is the first of the third Champions or third new Champions series with these particular characters. I like it a lot. I've always liked this team of champions, and this one continues to be that stuff.
That's cool. It looked cool.
Yeah, currently the champions, all of the under 21 heroes are illegal, and there is an organization called Cradle who is out to keep them from doing anything, and the acronym is fucking ridiculous. I love it so much.
I mean,
there's a silent H in Cradle as well.
Wait, there's a what?
There's a silent H because it's like Child Heroes Redemption.
Cradle.
Cradle.
Very cool.
Cradle.
That's good. Marvel is very, very much, to me, always like the acronym. The kings of acronyms. Supreme
they are
Strategic
shameless.
Hazard in International whatever. Yes. Like, it's just like, really? Come on.
I mean, MODOK. When you get, yeah. Magical organism designed by kittens or whatever it is. Yes, everybody loves MODOK. But yeah, no, this champion series is super fun and it's more of that champion stuff from before. It's still very social justice-y and really like it's the kind of stuff that literally every Marvel comic through the 60s and 70s was, but now this is like the only one that's kind of like this. Like Disney let this one social justice warrior thing slip through. And when, you know, that was literally what Marvel was pretty much founded on back in the day.
Oh yeah. I can find about 1700 Stan soapbox that are like literally like textbook social justice warrior stuff,
yeah.
Which is awesome. And the idea that Marvel has to hide from that, if they do, I don't know, maybe they don't.
I don't know that they really do. This is very unapologetic in that function.
Oh, good.
And it's also very good. It's well written and really fun.
It's Excelsior. Racism is bad. I'm Stan Lee.
Excelsior.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, some sort of soap that you put on trees to make them look like they've got snow on them. Is that what that stuff called?
Sure.
Is that Excelsior?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Then I'm going to move on to Coffin Bound, number 7. I have not caught up with this book, but it was great, and I really enjoyed it while it was going before, and I can't keep up with every fucking book, unfortunately. Creeps, number 27, which is the... I can't believe this magazine has made it this long, and not in a I don't like this magazine kind of way, in a I can't believe that the market can support an eerie, creepy type magazine in this world, and it makes me really happy that it continues on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Creeps number 27. This is that super, super traditional, eerie, creepy Warren Comics. Like, it's so Warren Comics that they're literally republishing certain Warren Comics in these issues, and there's new content, and they're just fucking awesome. It's like, it's just a wonderful thing that still exists in the world.
Yeah, it's cool.
And the cover for this one is particularly awesome. It has a wolf-headed, like, Glenn Danzig monster on it, which, you know.
Nice. I mean, every Warren magazine should have a wolf-headed Danzig monster on it.
You can't argue with that. And if you are into Jeff Bridges, hey, he and his daughter have a book out called Daddy Daughter Day, which we have.
What?
We have a couple of copies of this. It's Jeff Bridges and his daughter doing kind of a weird inspirational family closeness kind of kids book.
Oh, it's a kids book.
Yeah. I think it's a hippie book more than anything else. I think it's just like, hey man, don't put labels on it, man.
Jeff Bridges is an amazing photographer, so visually it has no excuse to be bad.
I mean, honestly, the cover looks great. You look at a lot of these things and they have that outsider art thing, and you're like, well, it's outsider art because you fucking suck. This looks like outsider art that actually is kind of like really interesting. I mean, you know, Shia's thing when he sent us his comic.
Oh my God. I read that recently. Honestly, that comic holds up. It holds up.
There's some fun parts to it.
Yeah, it's not really a comic. It's really more of a series of drawings, but at the same token, like, it holds up. It's cool. Shia, let your fucking motorcycle freak flag fly. It's great.
Yeah. I can't find the other one. All I could find was Let's Fucking Party. I couldn't find the second one that he sent.
I have
me.
It.
Okay.
I bought it.
They
from
were
you.
Both really good.
Yeah, yeah.
You learned it by watching you. So, Deceased. Dead Planet number 4 of 7. Why are they doing 7 issue miniseries?
You know,
what
I don't know
going
why they're
on at DC.
I don't know why they're doing 7. I gotta say, I love Deceased. I am a huge Deceased fan. This is definitely my least favorite issue of the series.
Wow.
I read it. I was kind of like, if you're gonna do 7, don't have number 4 be the one that moves the plot forward and does nothing else. Like, ooh. It just, you know, and there's like this one line in it that's like supposed to be like super badass, and it's just like kind of cheesy. Not to like whatever. I love the series. I know it's going to end well. This is the first negative thing I think I've ever said about Tom Taylor. But like, yeah, I read it, fair. And I was like, when it got to the part where it was like, bleh, I was like, you thought that was cool when you were typing it on your keyboard, but man,
it's so funny. There was something else I read this week, and I can't remember what it was. There was another book that was like just a great book. Totally, everything was good. And then there was something that was supposed to be the really cool catchphrase, and it just fucking fell on its face.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't just that. So,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, just because like something makes sense in this. I actually can't say anything about it because it would give away too much of the story.
Don't do that. Deadpool number 7 is out. Great series.
Yeah.
Continues to be really fun. But, you know. Unfortunately, when you put monsters in stuff, nobody cares about it anymore, sadly. So
such a shame. I gotta try that. Reminds me though, I gotta track down that Landshark action figure.
The one that was on my shelf.
Wait, you still have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, I need it. I need to get it.
Yeah,
for my
that came out this week. By the way, the new wave of Deadpool action figures came out this week, including Shania Twain, the mother of monsters, whoever it is that Deadpool married, whatever her name is, but she comes with a Jeff the Land Shark action figure.
Oh, you mean I have to buy this action figure of this thing I don't care about in order to get Jeff?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't care. It's only worth it.
You also get part of Strong Guy's left leg, I believe.
Sick. Do you have more than one of Jeff?
I do not. I only have one. So
I'm going to order it on the internet as soon as we are done with this podcast. So
all right.
You better get it before me.
Absolutely.
If you want it.
Don't worry. I won't put this up in time. So it'll be fine. All right. So Decorum number 5 is out with a couple of really amazing covers. I'm really digging the covers on these. Die number 14 is out. And Dreaming Waking Hours is out. Far Sector number 8. And Firepower number 4 is out.
I actually
Hooray for this book.
Hooray for that book. But sorry, I got to shout out Far Sector. It's awesome.
Sure. Yeah, it is. I blame the weird cutoff in the middle with books and everything. I just lost track of Far Sector. I really loved it when it first started, and I just lost it.
Somehow. I think Far Sector is going to perform really well as a trade. It's absolutely so good. And when the trade comes out, I'll talk about it a lot because I'm a couple issues behind, but Far Sector is amazingly good. Anyway, you were talking about Firepower, which is also amazing.
Yes.
So
Firepower, this is a testament to what a good writer we have with this book, because Kirkman can do an issue like this and I don't want to just throw the book into the fire, which is insane. This book was probably 50% relationship issues. Essentially, it starts off and we have almost exclusively them having marital problems. And somehow it ties so well into the overall story, and it's written so well, it's still compelling for the entire thing. And then when the big reveal at the end, and you're like, oh shit, some shit's about to go down in the next issue, you're not disappointed, and you don't think that you're going to have to sit through another relationship book after this. It's just very well done. It really is.
Would also 100% shout out Chris Samnee for being you know, to pull off something like that. You really do need like a true creative collaboration that like the storytelling really brings it home. And Kirkman's great. Samnee's great. I'm happy for Firepower. I don't care how I'll buy it as long as the two of them are doing it.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's really nice to help out these poor upstarts that are just trying to make ends meet in their $40 million houses and whatever. But
I don't think Chris Samnee has millions of dollars.
No, he doesn't. But you know, it's just always weird to talk about anything that Skybound puts out because it's just like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good. Yeah, damn it. I wanted it to be, you know, somebody from Aftershock or something to have this book. Mm. But nope, it's him and it is great. And so
should we also talk about, while we're at it, go out of alphabetical order and talk about that Walking Dead thing? Or do you want to wait until the end?
Yeah, let's kick out of alphabetical order for a moment and talk about the deluxe Walking Dead issues. Damn it, man.
The coloring's great. It's great.
The coloring is really good and it adds so much. And this 1000%, I said it last time when we talked about it, that this would be on my list and I would probably start from the beginning and collect every issue of Walking Dead in color. I second it again this week after reading this again, after reading the first issue of Walking Dead again, I was like, fuck, this is so good. I want to collect all of these issues.
Yeah, I was really I'm still second guessing myself. Like, I didn't pick it up, and I really am like, man, I probably should. Like, it looks so good.
The first 6 issues, at least.
And
that's
I also
the thing,
well,
is
no,
like, go through
like,
the Tony Moore ones.
Yeah, see, my thing is that, like, I'm not shitting on Tony Moore. Like, I like Tony Moore a lot, but, like, I love Charlie Adlard.
Oh,
and
right.
I love that he
He's
was, like,
too.
the the person who really, like, he was like the kind of, to me, the journeyman of Walking Dead. And just such an unsung, like, every man of cartooning, like, and I can't wait to see his stuff in, like, with that level of color. But I know I'll regret it if I don't get it. So maybe when I buy, like, that action figure, I'll buy it.
Fucking Tony Moore, man. I'm telling
you. Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome.
He's so fucking good. And no, not to shit on anybody else who followed, but I would have killed to have Tony Moore just do the whole goddamn thing forever. But it never would have had the success. I guarantee you it never would have had the success if he had continued on.
Would he have been able to do, like, the, like, Adlard did the monthly, you know, like, Tony Moore to my Tony Moore series is Fear Agent. Like, that's, you know,
mine is everything he's ever fucking done.
Yeah, no, he is
everything.
Frank
and
Castle.
He was a total dick to me. So, okay, that's not true. We had issues when I was doing his shirts for him, but it was weird. Everybody was going through something at the time, and so it's fine. But I think we're over it at this point. But I love everything. That weird fucking Vertigo book where it was about the weird insects and the insect god that these it was called Exterminators.
No,
they were just going around to, oh my god, that thing had so much promise, and it kind of just fizzled out, which bummed me out. But yeah, that thing, I love. I love Tony Moore, man. Love him.
He's great. I'm not shitting on Tony Moore. Emphatically, I'm not shitting on Tony Moore. I just really do very much like Charlie Adlard. Like, yeah. I'm not, like, I get that, like, Tony Moore, like, was there at the beginning or whatever, but it's just, like, I feel like, I can't say, like, I'm not, like, comparing them. Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm more excited about seeing Charlie Adlard in color. I'm just saying I am excited about seeing Charlie Adlard in cover as much as color, as much as this beautiful first issue. Like, I hope the whole series has that level of...
And I didn't know this colorist either.
Yeah,
I
mean, who did the coloring?
I mean, to shout him out, I will have to go way to the end here.
I'm sorry. We shouldn't have gone.
And here we are. That's why we don't do these out of order. No, it's fine. Dave McCaig, McCaig, McCaig.
Yeah, I've seen the name before, but I've
never heard. I don't know who he is, but his coloring is awesome.
It is very good, and I would definitely recommend. Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't get in on Walking Dead and you're interested in buying the entire series again, issue by issue.
And this is such a cool idea too, sort of like the giant sized X-Men thing where they did the jam version of it. I hope this happens more often. I would also, I mean, so maybe when the collapse of comics happens that everybody's expecting within the next 2 years, that will be what we'll see. It'll be, hey, guess what, guys? Weekly, you know what's coming out? Amazing Spider-Man, starting at number one. And guess what? I'll be fucking stoked because that's really cool. Imagine just buying Spider-Man from the 60s starting at number one. That would be pretty fun.
It could be fun. There's a lot of, like, qualifiers on whether I'd be into that. Someone recently on one of my Facebook groups did a comparison of a quick aside.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No. It's going to be the coloring and the inking thing, isn't it?
It sort of is, but, like, someone did a side-by-side comparison where John Byrne ripped off Jack Kirby from the John Byrne Fantastic Four run, which is, like, a thing where I had read it and it was, like, panel by panel, he had, like, straight up swiped Kirby. And that's fine or whatever, but, like, when they did it, they showed the recolored 60s Fantastic Four shit that Marvel put out. And it's like, if you're gonna recolor it, you gotta recolor it better. And, like, not just, like, here's some gradients. Like, just, like, this Walking Dead is a perfect example of what you should do if you are recoloring or coloring something for the first time. You know, like, do it. Make it look fucking good, you know.
That would be fascinating.
You know,
that would be fascinating. I would be, I would be interested to see that. I wonder what people would be more into, a modern coloring or trying to stick as close to what the four color process originally looked like.
I don't know, but I would like something that did like a modern take on the original. Yeah, like it would have to map close to the original, because what I love about reading old comics is partially that. And so like, if you're going to just like do these flat colors, but have them be really boring and computery, it's like, I don't know. I'm not into it, but that's just me.
I dig. But you know what everybody's into?
What?
Everybody's into the idea of R.L. Stein writing a Garbage Pail Kids book. And guess what? That's a thing he did. And we have that. We have many of them. And they come with Garbage Pail Kid cards that are designed specifically on characters that R.L. Stein created. Come on.
Fantastic.
That's fucking awesome.
That's fantastic.
If you are a 90s kid and you're like a crazy Goosebumps fan, this is, you have to have this. This is amazing.
This is like
R.L. Stein made Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, this is like, hey, 80s kid, meet 90s kid. And then just like, they're
shake
like a piece of bubble gum that gets chewed up by like a 2000s kid.
And just like stuck to your shoe and it's covered with poop and everything.
Exactly.
So the next most important thing that everyone in the world is going to need is the Hungry Pac-Man ghost. Oh my God.
Wait, what? So,
yes. This is an amazing thing. I got this, like, we don't do plushes ever. It's just a thing that we have been like, no, they're gross. People touch them and they're weird and disgusting. And I hate how they look in plastic, so I don't do anything with those. Whatever. This is a 15-inch enormous Pac-Man that is stuffed full of ghosts and cherries and like bells.
I'm literally Googling this right now. I have to see it.
It's so cool. It has sound to it. So it waka 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 wakas, and it's stuffed full of cherries. It is an enormous amount of money, but you know, if you know plushies.
Oh my God.
You know,
yeah, it is. Is it a kid robot?
I think it's a kid robot and NECA crossover somehow.
But, man. It's crazy. Cool looking, for sure.
It's pretty great.
Nice.
I only have one of them left. One of them just sold like a half hour ago. So you know.
Get it.
Get on it. Inkblot, number two.
I was looking at this plush.
It's hilarious.
Oh my God, it's huge. How did I miss this? I wouldn't have bought it, but it's pretty great.
It is pretty great. I don't know how you missed it. It was jammed on the shelf and it barely fit in.
I don't know. I'm like tunnel vision with comics.
Fair. Inkblot, number two.
I got that.
Inkblot was really fun, and I think this one's going to be great too.
Yeah, it was cool. There's like this really fun, like Inkblot is bigger than you would have expected a story about a weird mouthless cat with huge eyes to be, but it is.
I
like
love
kind
that he
of,
never shuts his damn eyes.
And
just
also
big fucking freaked out eyes all the time.
Yeah, he looks just like my cat too, which is also like a big reason why I'm super into this. But like, I'm just gonna say, I don't want to do spoilers or whatever, but fucking dragons! Like, this comic is like dragon heavy, and this cat is great, and all he ever says is "mow." It's great. Inkblot is great. Also, maybe a good trade if they did it in like a manga size. I think that would be smart.
Ooh, that would be smart.
Comic size, so that probably wouldn't work.
Well, Justice League number 54. It is the continuation of the Dark Knight's Death Metal crossover.
I know the Dark Knight's Death Metal crossover is getting some serious shade in all of my forums, but
that's so weird. I haven't disliked a single fucking issue of this.
I loved it. My favorite one is definitely last week's Multiverses End was
good. I think that might be my favorite too.
But this Justice League is just so stupid. I love it. It's great. I fucking love it. I just make it dumb, make it fun. It's good.
Yeah.
Make it fun.
Yeah, I agree. And so I will also say the new Deadpool series has a trade out. So if you did not if you were on the fence about another Deadpool series and you were like, fuck this, there have been too many, and then you go back and you say, hey, wait, it's full of monsters and that happens to be a thing that I like, check this out. King Deadpool trade number one, Hail to the King. It's awesome. Scotty Young could write the hell out of a fucking comic. I'm a fan.
Is this drawn by Bacallo?
It is.
I think it's Kelly Thompson, isn't it?
Oh, it is Kelly Thompson. You're right.
Yeah. Kelly Thompson is awesome, and Kelly Chris Thompson, Bacallo, I like awesome.
Maybe more than Scotty Young, actually. I loved, because I loved that Scotty Young series as well. But yes, yep, Kelly Thompson, great, great writer. I love, man, that West Coast Avengers run was so awesome.
Yeah.
Did not get the love that it deserved.
Nope.
Swamp Thing, The Legend of Swamp Thing Halloween Special, number one. I did not read it, but I'm great going art. To because it's fucking Swamp Thing and it's a Halloween special. Of course I'm going to read it.
Yeah. There was like six stories in it. The first two were drawn by Mike Perkins, who is the illustrator of the Stand series. And is very good. Also recently did that Lois Lane series. And then there's a Christian Ward story in it that's like painted. He did the Black Bolt series that was awesome. And
is this all new content?
Yeah, it's all new content. There's like six stories in it. Like there's some Ram V. There's some some James Tynan, which there's a pronunciation that I'm.
Oh, son of a bitch. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's Tynan.
Tynan?
I think so. Next week I will nail my pronunciations next week, I promise, but it's Tynan.
Oh boy.
The fourth. Yeah.
Oh, this is great. We're going to have to retcon everything.
We're going
to
re-record every podcast. Except we'll just dub in the correct pronunciations. It'll be like blah 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 blah. Tynan.
Tynan. Yes. Well, Legion of Superheroes, Volume 1, Millennium trade paperback is out. If you've heard us complaining about this, then you're probably not very excited about this book. Unless you know that you're going to like something if we hate it, in which case, go for it. I am glad that you love it. It makes me happy that somebody's enjoying it, because I was really excited about Legion when it first started. And then I got very disappointed very quickly.
Let's posit a tagline, a log line for Legion of Superheroes, and say, Legion of Superheroes, it's probably better than we think it is.
Could be. Legion of Superheroes, if you like Legion of Superheroes, you're probably going to like it. Because those people who, like Gerald and all these people who love they love the Legion and they're just like diehard Legion fans. It's for some reason, these kinds of stories are written for them. And I think I'm always hoping that they're going to do a Legion story written for me, the person who doesn't like the Legion, but writing something that is basically perfect for a Legion fan leaves me out. And so I should say, if you're looking for a fucking Legion story that reminds you of other Legion stories you've liked, this is probably exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. So, and then if you're one of those people like us, you should just go back and read Legion Lost, which should be in a trade perennially, because it is definitely the best Legion's comic.
Agree. So Lock and Key in Pale Battalions Go number 2 is out. It is a 3-part miniseries leading up to this big fucking Sandman crossover, which is blowing my mind. I don't know what that's about, but that's pretty cool. Lost Soldiers number 3 is out, and Mad Magazine number 16 is out, and it is a Halloween issue, and it's pretty exciting. Ooh, you know, it's not all new content, but it's, you know, it's a Halloween issue of Mad. Come on, dig it.
Yeah.
Magnificent Miss Marvel number 15 is out today. That was a weird issue. I liked it. I don't know. It's weird. I think I might be having old man comic issues, because I took offense to how a character was characterized, and I was like, ah, I think I'm getting really old. Basically, some essentially Dum Dum Duggan is after after Kamala Khan because she is superheroing at a too young an age. And he's like, he's out to get her. And like, people are calling him a fascist. And I was like, oh, come on. Don't call Dum Dum Duggan a fascist. He fought the fucking Nazis. Come on, man. He's Antifa all the way, baby. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. This is not a fascist.
But that's the problem when you have someone like when you have like one of Sergeant Fury's Howling Commandos like as a tool of the government. Like you can't. SHIELD needs to be independent of the government.
Yes.
Period. In order to be effective. Like it just like it can't like if it's just like performs a function amidst a government hierarchy of bullshit. It's like, first of all, it doesn't make sense. Like their shit gets trashed way too much for the government to ever not cut them loose. But like, you know, oh, we lost another helicarrier. another one. Those things cost like $17 billion and you trash them every fucking week. There's no more SHIELD.
We simply cannot afford to hold on to you guys. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Marauders number 13 is out. And again, there are these amazing horror covers that 90% of the time, whenever they're like, oh, we're doing a horror cover, it's something lame. And it's like, oh, look, we got a little monster on it or whatever. And for some fucking reason, all these horror covers that are coming out now are really good. And they never gave me a glimpse of them when I was ordering, or I would have ordered through the roof on these. They're all good. The Thor cover is a great Frankenstein cover. This one is a throw to Hellstrom. It's like a fake Hellstrom cover with Storm as Damien Hellstrom. It's just fucking awesome. And I'm bummed out that we didn't get more of these.
Shoot.
But they're all really good. Let's see. Like we were saying before, we've got a bunch of the Marvel Deadpool Legends, which includes Black Tom Cassidy, blue costume Deadpool from the one time when he was in the X-Men for like 25 seconds. Deadpool Legends Pirate Deadpool when he was a pirate for 2 seconds. And
has there ever been a figure of the Thing as Bluebeard?
Oh my God. Why hasn't there been?
I don't know. Cause like there should be.
I would want that. That's a great custom. So we got that. We got the pirate one. We got Maverick. We've got Sheikla and Jeff, which we will not have because Bob is going to buy it. We have
immediately.
We have Sunspot, and we have Warpath, who is in his traditional Randy Macho Man Savage outfit. So, Money Shot number 9 is out.
Oh man, if you are seeking centaur porn, you're going to want to get Money Shot number 9 because there is some graphic-ass centaur sex in this comic.
Finally.
Centaur
Finally,
porn.
A comic book for me.
Yeah, they're looking out for you. Tim Seeley and Sarah Beatty.
Moonshine 21. And apparently Neil Gaiman decided to make a comic book of his book Norse Mythology, which I loved the book. I have not read the comic yet, but
I'm sure
that it is. I mean, there's a bunch of artists on this thing. There's really amazing people. I think it's it says P. Craig Russell as the two main, but there's Mignola, Ordway, Stewart, like a bunch of people.
What?
Mignola.
So,
yeah. Sure. I don't know how much Mignola does, but he is definitely credited.
A pinup.
Well, I mean, inevitably that's probably what it is, but New Mutants, Epic Collection, Cable.
Cobble.
I don't remember which one this is.
It's pronounced Cobble.
It's going to turn out to be Cobble. This is New Mutants 86 through 94, Annuals 5 and 6, and the Summer Special. So that is a late era. Conan, the official Conan Universe Anniversary Edition is out. So the guide to the Conan Universe and all the characters, it's just a total straight up reissue. Over the Garden Wall has a new graphic novel called Sisters of Charity. Pretty Violent number 10 is out. Rise of Ultraman number 2 is out. There's a trade of Road to Empire. And Sacred Six number 3 is out as well. Not sure if I'm supposed to stop carrying these or not. I can't remember how that has resolved with Dynamite.
No, I would say at some point Dynamite is dead.
You think so?
Based on what I've read, basically, like, I've read some creators be like, hey, my Red Sonja cover is out. This is the last thing I did for them before they revealed themselves to be total pieces of shit. And I won't be working for them in the future. God. But I don't know. Great. You know, well, that said, maybe you don't buy into cancel culture, whatever, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, for me, I'm not taking any chances. Also, they don't really put out anything that I give a shit about.
Yeah, that's also fair. Speaking of people who don't put out things that I like, we've got a new comic from Rob Liefeld, Snake Eyes Dead Game number 2. I gotta say,
he is perfect to
fucking draw this book.
Yeah.
I'm always the one to defend Liefeld. So I don't know why I'm saying bad things about him here. I actually do like him. And this is, like I said, this is what he should be doing. This kind of shit is so perfect for him. His 6 or 7 poses that he has for people look fucking great on action figure comics.
So. Rob Liefeld, his swipe file is like 10 images that are actually in a file cabinet. That said, I've learned to become an apologist for Liefeld as well. I actually have zero problem with him, and I think I read something positive about his Snake Eyes book. So I'm going to say maybe this is the one. I didn't look at
it. Yeah, I went through it, and I thought it looked great. Like I think it's perfect for him.
Snake Eyes.
Sonic, Bad Guys. Number 1 of 4. There's a Deep Space 9 comic out this week as well, if anybody likes those. There's a Star Wars Adventures number 1 again for the 2020 series coming out. And also very exciting, we have a gigantic pile of these Super 7 pint glasses this week.
Oh, the G.I. Joe ones?
They're G.I. Joe and Transformers. So we've got like Baroness and Cobra Commander and Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, but also like Grimlock and Megatron and Optimus Prime and Soundwave. So
nice.
Super cool. It's like, they're really nice.
They're like the art from the cards of the action figures, right? Like it was like that classic action figure art.
Which is what they needed to do. They needed to not fuck around and not do something stupid, like just like redraw them somehow. It's like what we want to see is that classic art. So
yep.
Glad to see it. There's a new Super Sons book, Escape to Landis, trade paperback. And we got the Star Wars Black Mandalorian figures in this week. And we still have the child figures to go with him. So you can make a package deal of Mandalorian and little tiny baby Yoda. It's adorable. Thor number 8 is out. This was a surprising issue for resolving what happened last time. This is cool. It had a little bit of that like hopeful Superman story where he befriends somebody and he's like, at the end, he's like, I'll take you flying because you're, you know, you've never gotten to do something like that. And this, I don't know, it was charming and fun. There was some weird Tony Stark stuff where he was overly aggressive for no reason.
Yeah, the double page.
His motivation was confusing.
God. Yeah,
very confusing.
I really like the design of this Farmer Thor, Farmer Thor or whatever. That's what I'm calling.
Yeah, I like him too. I hope he doesn't go away.
Yeah, I hope so too.
There's reason to believe that he's going to disappear after this issue, but there's also a weird element of this that might mean that he's not going to, I feel like. So I would like to see it. I would like to see it return personally.
Hard to say.
Yes. Impossible. But we only find them when they're dead. Number 2 is out.
Didn't read it, but loved the first issue. And this issue is also very neon and cool looking.
Yeah. Wolverine number 6. There's a facsimile of the 1987 Wonder Woman number one out.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes, you can.
Did the original issue have a wraparound cover?
Yes, I believe it did.
This one doesn't, and I think that is bullshit.
Holy shit. Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure it did.
Like, there's an ad on the back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I could have sworn the original had a wraparound cover, and I was like,
positive.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but if it did, it's been a while. This facsimile only reprints the first half of the cover if there was a wraparound.
That's really funny. I'll have to check that. I have a couple copies of that at the shop.
Nice.
Black Hammer, the library edition, volume one is out. So this is the World of Black Hammer library edition.
Oh.
And X-Force number 13. This was Wolverine's story continued.
Yeah, there was a thing in that that
yeah
is like
they brought back a thing from the past of Wolverine that gets brought up in like, you know about this about a certain superhero, he can do this.
Yeah.
And that is brought up here. And it makes less sense in this than it did in the original version.
Yes. I was very, very, very surprised.
I have a question about it, though. If that happened to you in hell, would the same thing happen?
I mean, if it's in hell, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So there's magic there, too. So
yeah.
Who knows what it actually means?
Yeah.
But... there's Young Justice number 19 is out, and it's it's not capturing me anymore, but this is a Wonder Girl specific issue, so if that's your jam.
If you like Zeus, then you're going to want this one. If you're like, man, when's Zeus going to be in a comic?
When are we going to get more Zeus? That's something that I'm always looking for.
Yep.
And that's it. That's what we get this week. That's the long and the short of it.
The list.
Yeah.
Good
there
stuff.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So come buy it. Come to the store and buy it. We're open from 2 to 6 Wednesday through Saturday. And we do curbside pickup and we do deliveries and you get free shipping with code ARG exclamation point. That is AARGH exclamation point for free shipping over $30. And help support us because, you know, it ain't great out there right now. So we can use all the help we can get.
Also, you got those cool stickers. Don't forget about those stickers.
Oh, yeah. And we're also going to do the Barf comic stickers with every purchase. And so we'll give those to walk-ins and as well. I'll slip those in the bags.
They're
so
great.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah. And awesome. Also, thanks to James Callahan because he's fucking amazing, too, for doing that design for us. And follow us at Actually Comics and at Coast City Comics and at Funbox Monster Podcast and at Funbox Monster Emporium and all of those things.
We all have 17 Instagrams.
And at Rad Wraith and everything else. Awesome. Yep, so that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Yes. Bye.
Awesome. Good night, Bob.
Bye.
Don't need the buzz coming down on me. If I had one wish.